Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by Copper Compression. If you've been doing extra sewing or housework, your hands might need some extra support. Visit coppercompression.com and use code SEWINGOUTLOUD to receive 30% off your first order.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're going to, it's summer here in the Northern Hemisphere.
And Mallory's told us, chose a subject that we haven't even really discussed between the two of us yet.
Well, you know what I'm thinking? I think there's a really old blog post on our site by Linda Turner about how she recovered her outdoor chairs. I'm talking 2013 or something, you know. I'll have to see if it's still up there. Or
probably before that.
If it's made like the migration from website to website host.
But, you know, I mean, honestly, it was just about cushions.
Yeah.
So
that's one part of it.
I do believe we've discussed cushions before. The only thing is when you go outside or you go into the elements, so to speak, a lot of times you want fabric. You need to think more about the fabric.
Right.
And you want fabric that usually is treated.
Yeah, so let's just go in here and talk about materials. Okay.
Okay.
So you're going to we're talking about outdoor furniture and
we might be talking about some boat interiors.
Okay. Okay. Things that might get used outdoors
or exteriors.
The material is important, like you said, because when you're outside, and we get the full range of it here where we live.
We have all the seasons.
We have, like, to the extreme,
and
I think.
I have had people move from Florida to Missouri and say, oh, my gosh, I thought Florida was humid.
Yeah.
Well, Florida's humid all year round.
Yeah.
We just had this big dose of it. Okay, in the summer. In fact, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the term the dog days of summer, but it's when it's so hot the dog won't get off the porch.
Mm-hmm.
He just lays there sort of with his tongue hanging out. We have the dog days of summer.
Yeah, so we get really, really hot and we can, I mean, it's possible.
Oppressively moist.
Yes, we can get very humid. Yes. We can have a mild winter, but we can also have extreme
winters,
snowfall, and whatnot. I know.
I mean, we can have blizzards here, and we have.
The Canadians are all like, "You don't know what you're talking about,
right?" Yeah, well, you don't know about oppressive moisture, humid.
Well, I will say that we will get a big thing of snow, and it won't persist for like weeks and weeks and weeks, like I think it does.
We tend not. Well, we tend not to. Our snow cover tends to melt off.
Yes, yes, it.
But there are years when it hasn't. Also,
yes. So we get a really big show of weather here in Missouri. So humidity, sunlight,
right?
You know, moisture in any form. So humidity, rain, you know, all that.
Right.
Wind, and then you know what else can happen outside? Animals, right? Mallory's husband just got a new dog, and
Mallory won't claim Marbles yet.
Marbles.
And Marbles is now marbleless.
Marbles has no marbles. We did the responsible
thing. We had the
thing.
Marbles taken care of, yes.
And Marbles had been running around, you know, free range at large, and he affected some furniture. He was a force upon outdoor furnishings.
Oh, he did.
Well,
I didn't know
that. Yeah. Okay. So, both ours and the neighbors, remember? He brought over some rugs.
Well,
stuff.
those were supposed to be indoors. She just happened to put her rugs outdoors and he brought them home to
us. Oh, okay. Okay.
They were not outdoor rugs.
So, there are a lot of different things that you can, that this furniture is going to be exposed to, and you can't like avoid them.
And you have to think of it differently than inside your home usually.
Yes.
Especially like the UV light. I mean, I know that I have a room that has a lot of glass in it.
Uh-huh.
And I will tend to actually cover some of my furniture a lot of the times because of the UV rays. Because it's, it's three sides glass. So there's all, and, sun will bleach out your fabric, and it will also disintegrate the fabric, especially if it is a natural fiber.
Let's go back and talk about fabric. So when you go to like the home deck part of the fabric store, if you can go to a fabric store right now,
or you can go to the home deck section
of
your online store.
Yes, but that probably won't cut it. Okay, home deck isn't necessarily outdoor. So you do want to see if there's like an outdoor decor or outdoor fabric. There is a brand that comes up a lot called Sunbrella.
Sunbrella. And one reason is it's called that. It initially was treated specifically for sun exposure. So awnings were made out of it and umbrellas. Get it? Sunbrella.
Sunbrella.
Coat bimini tops, are made out of it. Actually, I think they even make coat covers out of it, boat covers out of it.
Boat covers.
There's like three different fabrics that like boat people use, right? Okay, and Sunbrella tends to be, or originally was, a canvas. And then it was treated.
Yeah, so this will have a chemical.
So it was like a cotton canvas that was treated.
Mm-hmm. So it'll have like a chemical coating on it that's supposed to help the fabric withstand.
Right. Hinder.
The sun rays. And it may even help water beat off. Because water doesn't hurt. Water in itself doesn't necessarily hurt a fabric. But when water is left on fabric or left in foam for a long time and doesn't dry quickly enough, then you see mold.
Mold and mildew.
You smell mold. So it can be on the surface of the fabric or it can get into your foam.
Right.
And that brings us to another thing. Like, you make an outdoor pillow, there are things you can buy, like outdoor pillow forms, or you make them from foam, or go ahead.
Right. Well, I was going to say, you can specifically buy outdoor foam.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know the specific differences between it. I would assume it does not hold moisture as well.
Uh-huh.
And some of them you will see, say, treated for mildew resistance. I do not know what they're treated with. Okay.
Yes.
But they will say that they are treated specifically for that.
So you do, if you're going to be recovering, cushions, or you're going to be doing something outside, do go ahead and don't just purchase some normal canvas. Consider getting something that is graded for outdoor wear.
Right.
And those coatings, to be completely, clear, they wear off
they
over
time.
They
will wear off, absolutely. And
it,
the more you wash them, they wear off faster.
That's right.
Right.
So your best bet is to try and protect your furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have a chair that's out on our porch, and we think that's fine because it's shaded like almost all of the time. We take the cushions in the winter. But if it is something that's outside in full sun all the time, if you can take those cushions in when you're not using them, that would be good,
Well, so we have what we call the pavilion, the pond pavilion, which is like sort of like cross between a dock.
Yep.
And a deck and a pavilion because it has a top on it. So we have cushions with Sunbrella or Sunbrella type fabric on them. We take them in the winter and I keep them. In the summertime, we don't leave them on the beach. We will bring them and put them sort of in the center of the pavilion.
Yes.
So they don't get wet and they don't get the sun exposure.
Yep.
And they're going to last a lot. They will not last forever.
Right.
We will have to replace these or recover these or whatever. But that does extend their life.
Okay, so you're going to want to get some outdoor fabric. Thread, what kind of thread are we going to use, Mom?
Well, I have no problem. Here we go. I use Metrosine. You know, I just I have repaired boat covers with Metrosine. I have reconstructed flying harnesses with Metrosine.
Yep.
I have no reason not to use Metrosine for anything. So it's polyester thread.
Yeah.
High quality polyester thread.
I'm looking at it right now. Actually, we have I think a few neutral mixes on our website right now. Right. Some limited
and
edition.
Those types of things are often sewn with polyester thread. You will sometimes see nylon thread. I don't like nylon thread.
Yeah, like, I don't mind nylon thread if a factory has used it on something I buy. Like, fine, whatever.
Well, but what
but
I
don't like yeah. it myself.
I mean, honestly, what I found is even the factory or the ready-to-wear, well, it's heat liable. You know, I mean, and it will stretch. And I still, you know, if I see something with nylon thread and I'm going to repair it, I repair it with the polyester.
Oh, sure, sure.
Is what I do.
Well, and the Mettler, it just, you know, you need two things in a thread because this comes up when people talk about, you know, oh, I just want to use this cheap thread because this project doesn't have to last a long time. Well, it's not always just about the project. It's about what's running through your machine, right?
That's true, too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So,
it's not just the project. It's the quality of what you're running through
right,
your machine.
Right. It's what you're doing through there. So we really like the Metrosine because our machines like it, too. And we sew on all sorts of different machines. You know, straight stitch machines, machines that are computerized, machines that are mechanical. So anyway, when you are going to do your home deck outdoor deck projects, your outdoor home deck projects, using that Metrosine thread is...
We're having difficulty speaking today.
I guess so. Good thing, because we're podcasters. So when you are... That thread is going to withstand heat. It's going to withstand, you know, moisture and drying.
All those things we talked about.
Especially better than cotton thread.
It also will withstand the mildew.
Yes.
So it's not broken down by microbials.
Right.
Like a cotton thread, say,
yeah,
would
so
be.
So there are microbes that eat petroleum products, but they're not real common.
No. And they're not, like, on your patio.
They're, like,
right.
You know...
They're in the ocean to
eat
the...
They've been found.
They're in the ocean to eat up the oil spills,
yes,
whatever.
We hope that they become more, you know, prominent anyway. And, yeah, that's, you know, it's hard because a lot of times people... I mean, even myself, I'm kind of realizing, okay, this polyester thread I'm using, it's a petroleum product. I'm trying to cut down on, you know, plastic consumption. And so, anyway, I'll let that thought fester in my mind
a little
longer.
I was going to say, you do that podcast all by yourself.
Yeah, Mom's like, whatever. Okay. So, yes, you just go ahead and use the Metrosine. Now, needles, when you're doing these projects, these fabrics aren't like, I mean, I've sewn on garment denim,
you know,
that was as thick or thicker.
Yeah, I mean, I have used a universal needle. I tend to use a denim needle with
big
these.
Big denim needle.
Well, and you know, a denim needle is usually got a... sort of a coating, Teflon type coating on it. So it, you know, the fabric tends to be not thicker, but sometimes a little bit stiffer because of the treatment.
Yes.
You know, because it is basically sort of glazed with something.
Yeah, you can feel it.
You can tell the difference. It's stiffer. You can feel the finish.
Yes.
You
know. But it's not particularly like, you know, if you can sew a pair of jeans on your machine,
right,
you can sew
absolutely.
This stuff. You
absolutely.
Know, and you're going to, once again, we talked about this in the home deck episode, so some of this transfers over. Probably while you're doing this, you can lengthen your stitch. If your default...
I start at 4.
Oh, okay.
That's where I go.
That's
I start at 4 and probably have never changed it.
Yeah, and you may find your top stitching on some more thicknesses.
Now, if there's something that I'm worried about reinforcing, I will use that triple stitch.
Okay.
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 I will tend to do that on things like straps on a boat cover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that I know has to be held down, that's going to have tension on it.
We're
going to
get into the straps here in a minute, right?
Okay,
or,
I don't know.
Or no, you didn't really use strapping on that project, because that's a cool project.
Which one?
The chair with the
knitting. Oh, well, but there's stuff about that that's pretty
well,
cool,
I know.
Yeah. So another thing.
Well,
okay, what? Go ahead.
I think we need to take a break soon.
Okay.
So can you finish that thought, or is it for the next half of the
episode? No. The thing I want to say that I have learned about some materials, okay, is like... For instance, in a cabin in a boat, you're worried about moisture, right? And I used to think, oh, cotton, because I can wash it or what about blah. No. Honestly, the recommendation is to use vinyl or a polyester product because it won't support
the microbes.
The microbes, right. Like the cotton. So the cotton tends to let them hold on and stay there and smell and all this. So you can take a polyester or a, you know, acrylic or polyester fabric, say like a upholstery type fabric, right? Or a home deck fabric. And you can actually scrub it down with peroxide or whatever, and it will release, you know. So that was something that I learned when I got into the, you know, the moisture holding areas. Like, a boat is sometimes on the water all the time.
Okay, so and a boat is kind of like a crotch in that they can get real moist and stuff. And so this is where the whole...
Most people tend to leave their boats and leave them closed up when they are gone. Now, there's things like moisture absorbers and things to put in them. But the whole idea is to try and cut down, you know, on that moisture.
Well, and that's just what comes up when people are talking about how they deal with the sweaty areas of their body. The crotch, the pits, wherever you're sweating, you know, under the breast tissue. Some people like the cotton. Some people need something that wicks and releases moisture more. It just depends on your body. So let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about a cool project that ZD did that incorporates a type of fabric and some other materials that are not this kind of coated canvas, because there are other materials that you'll encounter on this journey of outdoor furnishings.
Let's take a moment to thank our latest sponsor, Copper Compression, for supporting the podcast.
Copper Compression offers a full range of copper-infused wellness products like braces, gloves, and sleeves that provide targeted relief and the support you need through your active recovery. They have the highest copper content on the market, guaranteed.
Copper-infused fabric is wondrous material. It has antimicrobial and anti-odor properties and boosts circulation. The unique combination of compression and copper gives you the strength to heal.
We know how important our hands are. I've been knitting and gardening more while staying at home, which is fun, but my hands were killing me. I started using their half-finger gloves while working on my latest project, and my hands have felt so much better.
Copper Compression was recently in the news. They donated their entire stock of 18,000 professionally manufactured masks to New York and New Jersey hospitals.
And of course, we have a special offer for our listeners. Go to coppercompression.com/sewingoutloud30, that's coppercompression.com/sewingoutloud30, or use the promo code Sewing Out Loud, all one word, at checkout for a very generous 30% off on your first order. Thanks, Copper Compression.
Sewing Out Loud. Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com. Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
And we're back. Okay, so let's talk about some of the other materials you might get into, and then we'll talk about your really cool project.
Okay.
Okay. I think that project, that should be a zigzagger, a video on that project. Do like a video tour of it. So we'll talk about it
We can do that.
Okay, so...
It is. We need to take pictures of that.
Yeah, that's a really cool
thing.
We
need to do a live broadcast from the beach.
From the pond. I don't think the Wi-Fi is strong enough out there, unfortunately.
Oh, we can hotspot our phone?
No, wait. Okay. Wait.
Oh, I see what we can do. Yeah, I know what we can do. Okay.
So glad you all were here for that.
We just saw that. Okay.
So
one thing I want to talk about before we switch to my lawn furniture project, correct?
Yes.
Is zippers, because zippers and Velcro, I guess both.
Yeah, other Notion kind of thing.
Right. You may want to be able to cover and uncover, you know, these things. Or maybe you're covering over an old thing, and whatever. If you want to be able to remove your covering, you will need zippers and or Velcro. You can Velcro an entire seam down if you want.
Uh-huh.
Now, I am not particularly Velcro's friend all the time.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking. Like, this is a place where I'm okay with it a
little more. Yeah, it just, you know, Velcro holds on to, like, you know, fuzzy things and hair and all this kind of stuff, you know. So I'm always very careful where I put Velcro. Uh-huh. Okay. So if you want to use Velcro, you know, make that decision and think about it. And also, if it's laundered a lot, it tends to get stiff. I don't know why it does that, but it does.
Yeah, it gets kind of crackly.
Yeah, it gets crackly. So the next thing you want to think about are zippers. And you can get a metal upholstery zipper. You can get the nylon upholstery zippers. I tend to just get nylon so I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I don't have to worry about it rusting. I don't have to worry about it, you know, corroding if I'm in the salt air or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I usually buy a very good quality zipper, and it usually winds up actually being a YKK zipper.
Yeah.
Because they have a lot of choices, they have a lot of colors, and they have, like, mega durability. The other thing you want to think about in a zipper is if you are, say, adding something to a tent or a cover or something, and there's a zipper already there that you're trying to attach to.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What you do is you measure how many teeth per inch are in the zipper.
Yes,
or
how many
teeth per inch are in, you know, what?
News to me. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, because that's how you can say you have to order it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how you can do it. Now, of course, before you put it in, whatever you're going to
so
put it in.
You're talking about like zipping on different components.
These are like parka zippers.
Yeah.
I'm talking about something that's like a parka zipper
where
I am going, you know, I have a top on my boat, right? And
right.
I want to put a, you know, an isinglass windshield, if anybody knows what that is. It's like a see-through plasticky, right, windshield. They have these so you can like enclose your boat or whatever.
Right.
That zips on,
mm-hmm.
like one part zips on to another part,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And then it snaps on the boat. We can talk about snaps, too, if you want.
Cool.
So anyway, you measure the zipper's teeth per inch to try and match that up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Please, when you get that zipper in, because now you're probably only going to use half of it, okay?
Yeah,
you
right.
You understand?
Right,
because
right,
the
yeah.
other half is
other
already
half
on
is,
there.
Yep.
Right. Please, please. Try the zipper onto the part you're going to add to before you sew it into your new piece to make sure it fits, right? And then you're going to have to make a decision whether to, you know, buy another zipper if it does not fit or take the zipper out of the existing piece, you know, and put a whole, you know, both sides of the zipper in, okay?
Right.
But that is how you can start anyway, is measure your teeth per
inch,
per centimeter. You know, usually some place will say that or help you with that.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's snaps.
Yeah.
And these would be snaps that are grommeted, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to put these in, and they're big hunker things, and they're made specifically for these reasons.
Right.
Okay. And I buy mine at the hardware store.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's
and
where you're going.
And
for
they're
those.
Put in, you know, with a big, like, metal block and a hammer.
And a hammer.
Okay.
Yep.
These aren't baby zippers for baby clothes.
This isn't a onesie snap.
Right. And generally, I think they are stainless. So, you know, they're made not to rust.
Yeah, right. Right.
Right.
Yeah. So they are, yes.
Right. So these zippers are these zippers. These
snaps
often the male side actually has a hole that goes through the middle of it,
mm-hmm.
right? So it can be screwed onto something that takes the screw.
Oh, cool.
Fiberglass, wood, whatever.
Yeah.
Because you're snapping fabric to some other type of material.
Yeah. With okay. ZD, you're getting, I mean, I think you're just getting.
How technical you want this
really,
to get.
Yeah. Okay. So the other thing.
And that has nothing to do with the project we're going to talk
about. That's right. The other thing I want to talk about is webbing. Okay, sometimes when we say webbing, it's kind of like a strap, okay, what you would use to, you know, I think of dog collars a lot.
Nylon webbing.
Yeah, nylon webbing. But you can.
Or nylon strapping, maybe.
Yeah, nylon strapping. You can buy cotton webbing, okay?
Yes.
But you probably, for if you're going to use it for ties or you're going to use it for something that's on your outdoor
support
furniture.
On the bottom of a chair seat or something like that.
Something like that. You probably do want to go with the nylon.
Again, I would say the cotton might last you one season.
Yeah. Oh, in that. Yeah.
The old term, rotten cotton, it will rot on you.
Yes, yes. So the webbing, like I said, I don't think we can go into like all of the places you could possibly use webbing, but you were saying to increase your stitch length, and I would say especially when you're doing the Velcro, you're applying the Velcro, you're applying the webbing, that is where I see people with these little, you know, 2.5 millimeter stitch lengths that have then been shortened because their machine's having trouble pulling it through because it's so thick or it's uneven, you know, that is where that can be. And then.
And webbing is sometimes used for reinforcement, say, like under snaps or something like that.
I also want to bring up something that I showed in my how to make a bread proofing bowl video about trying to keep your foot level, as level as possible. So you may find yourself in home deck and maybe especially an outdoor home deck being on some kind of uneven surface. You know, you have your fabric and then there's a rectangle of Velcro on it, you know. Try to position your needle so that your whole foot can be like on the Velcro, on the two layers, and it can remain level, okay? So if you imagine that your needle's in the center and you want to stitch on the edge of your Velcro, well, that's going to leave half your foot on the Velcro and half your foot just on the fabric. And depending on the thickness, depending on the stability of your foot, depending on your machine, it might be okay, but then again, it might not. So if you can move your needle, say, all the way to the right or all the way to the left while you're sewing, it can help to keep your foot level.
Right?
And you can also, you know, you can pivot, you can, you know, reverse to do things. But that is something that the reason you want to do that is if your foot gets really unlevel, you could have your needle bump into it or a stitch knot get formed properly.
And in that same vein, so when you're thinking about construction, especially if this is your design and you don't have something to copy off of or look at, you need to think about where you are overlapping seams.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't want something to stack up with six or seven or eight layers, maybe. And not because maybe your machine will go through it.
Sure.
But that also distorts the shape of anything you're doing. So you want to try and keep it down.
Yeah.
You know, and we do that in garment sewing. We do that. That should be thought of.
Reducing bulk.
Reducing bulk should be always thought of.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. But you've got some pretty thick, maybe stiff stuff here. So your bulk could turn out to be like really
bulky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bulky.
You start to get into all that jazz. Yeah. So I just wanted to bring that up, though, that keeping the foot level is kind of, especially, you know, right now we're in the midst of the COVID pandemic and a lot of people don't have as easy access to their machine repair places. And so it's just really been on my mind lately.
Don't hurt your machine.
Help people avoid that kind of thing, you know?
So one more thing before we get to the lawn chair.
I don't even know if we need the lawn chair.
We're going to have to do two segments here. We're going to have to do a lawn chair.
No, I think this will just be a long one.
So here's the deal. Your sewing machine probably sits on a table, and maybe your table's big enough to hold a quilt or a wedding dress or something like that, but you may want to think about where you're really going to have your sewing machine for this project. If this is a big project, for instance, a boat cover keeps coming to my mind because this is what I do when I repair boat covers. My boat cover my machine goes like down in the middle of my great room.
I have a picture.
Okay. My husband says, oh, let me put it on the patio. We have a plug here. I go, it's 110 degrees. Let's put it in the great room like we always have, right? And sometimes I put it straight down on the floor. Uh-huh. Sometimes I will put it on like
some kind of platform.
Like that little step stool that you had when you were kids.
Yes.
Sometimes because I want it up a little higher or something. Because then that boat cover that weighs like 40 or 50 pounds mm-hmm. probably, actually, is spread out.
On the floor.
You know, and I can manipulate it. I mean, it is a exercise in calisthenics, you know, to get this done and get it done in the right place and all that kind of thing. So think about, now, sometimes I have previously put it on the edge of my porch. Mm. And that worked because I sat on the ground and I had the machine sort of like up on the porch. It was only 2 feet up or so or whatever that
okay,
is.
Okay, and you were pushing the foot pedal with your foot, right?
I have pushed it with my foot, with my knee, with my thigh.
I've done it like with the back of my knee before, kind of. It's like my leg can just be extended. It depends.
Yeah, I am kind of limber.
Yeah, you are.
I like it. You are. I've got my knee up by my ear, and I'm pressing on the foot pedal.
Yeah.
Now, there's also, you know, the machines that you have your stop-start button, and you don't have to use a foot pedal. I don't know why, but I like using the foot pedal.
Well, I think in this...
I really miss my knee lift. Big time I miss it.
I think an issue when you're working with a really big, huge thing like that and a start-stop button is you're trying to use both your hands. The whole time. And so it's like, you don't want to lift a hand to push the stop.
Well, and I also don't, I don't want to lift my hand to stop it.
Yeah, that's
yes, correct. Yes. That is absolutely correct.
Well, yeah.
So you'll have to work through this and decide how you know, my machine has to be brought down from upstairs. Yep. And because our studio is like in sort of an attic type space, a second story space, it has to be brought down the steps, you know, and put in the great room, which is down like another little set of steps. But that makes it easiest for me.
And you may find even if you are on the first level or whatever, that taking the machine temporarily to the site or to
the bigger space or whatever it is.
Like Fred. Okay.
Yeah.
How would Fred even fit like a 7 foot long loungy cushion thing from a lawn chair into her tiny sewing
room? I mean, a boat cover.
And a boat cover. Yeah.
Is like 30 feet long and 12 feet wide.
Yeah,
So, even though you roll it up, the bulk is there, right?
I'm just saying that even something smaller that you'd think would be more manageable, you'd maybe benefit from taking your machine.
I'm thinking about like I had this cockpit cover one time, and I thought I'll just take it home and throw it in my huge, you know, oversized washing machine, right? By the time I got it home and I looked at it, I was like, "There's no way that'll fit in my washing machine." But like, you know, when I was with it at the boat at the lake, it just looked like it wasn't that big.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got it home and I was like, "This is like six bedspreads, you know, and this isn't gonna happen."
Okay. Yeah, so we're about on minute like 30 almost of this podcast.
Well, probably the chair won't take as long because there's not as much.
You don't think so? Okay, I just
want to
make sure.
We went through quite a bit of process, actually.
Sometimes people like the really long ones, so okay. This is the coolest thing, I think. Ziti, was this lawn chair, did it deteriorate or did it get torn up by like an animal?
It was 100 years old.
Just a million years old. So the fabric that had... This was a full-length...
Chaise lounge.
Chaise lounge. Okay, with the adjustable, like, up and
the
down.
The back went up and down.
Oh, my gosh. I was trying to explain to Zelda how that worked.
Jerome got mad, and I had to show him, too.
Okay,
he didn't know how to work, either.
I was
either.
Holding Jerome, and he was in a delicate state. So I didn't want to get up. And I was like, you get the thing, and you move the thing. And I was like, I am doing such a terrible job.
I don't even know what that's called.
Of explaining, like, what is that called? I was like, it's like an easel. And she did get it.
She got it. Yeah.
Anyway.
No, so, the other day, he was trying to put the back of it up, and
he couldn't do it.
Yeah, and he was mad.
Got upset.
Yeah.
Okay, so... This is one of those full-length chairs, and the back goes up and down mm-hmm. like an easel or whatever.
It's actually made of like PVC piping.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it's kind of gray fluted piping. It's actually kind of neat looking.
So the frame of the chair.
My husband, of course, wanted to throw it away because.
And mom did not.
Because
she didn't like throw it
away. So it has a frame.
Yeah.
And then it had this like base.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like it was a taut base,
like a trampoline.
Right? And then the cushion goes on top of that.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I see.
Actually, that cushion, the dogs still sleep on in the back patio.
Okay.
So, anyway.
So the frame was still good.
The frame was excellent. But just, base, it's just excellent
the
condition.
The base was gone.
So this trampoline part, right? Uh-huh. The part that, you know, would have been the webbing or whatever. And it was actually made out of like this kind of like netting.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it had been somehow sewn.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then the PVC pipe had been run through
and connected.
And connected and glued together. Like,
right.
So it didn't come on and off. Mm-hmm. And actually, we had a post like this, and somebody.
Yes, I know.
Somebody was asking, how do I get this back on here? And I'm like, yeah, do it like a corset. But anyway.
Yeah, so mom needs to replace this, and
right.
She's not going to undo the chair.
Well, I mean, it would be ridiculous to undo the chair to me, especially when I came up with a solution.
And you can't sew with your machine onto this frame.
Onto this 7-foot frame with, I don't know, the PVC pipe
like
is what, 3 3/4 or something?
I don't know. Diameter or something. It's big. So mom made a chair corset.
I did.
For this chair.
I did.
To recreate that kind of base for the cushion, which we don't even have the cushion out there, and it's great. Like, the base is just
It's kind of neat without the cushion to put a wet kid on, because it just goes right through.
Yeah, the wet kid can dry. Right. So talk about the material you used.
I used PET screening.
PET screen!
So PET screen is what?
It's some kind of plastic.
Yeah, it's a plastic composite of something.
Well,
I'm sure we can look it up. So what I did is I did take the other support stuff off, right?
You stripped it down.
Right. And I mostly got an idea of what kind of shape I wanted and size from that. So that helped a lot.
Oh, okay.
I did have to change it because I was going to have to make this so that I could take parts of the sides, right,
mm-hmm.
that I was going to, we're going to curve around and go underneath the chair and around the back of the chair correctly.
Yeah.
And give me some tabs to run a rope through and tie this on like a corset.
Yes.
Okay. So the bottom, and then, you know, it isn't just going in one direction. It's not just going from side to side. You also have the foot, the bottom, and you also have the head, like the top.
Yes.
That where it goes around. So I had to do some strategic planning.
Yes.
And I had a bunch of clothesline, and I decided that's what I was going to use.
Okay.
Correct. To corset this on.
But it's not cotton clothesline.
I think it is.
It's black. I didn't think it was cotton.
No, it's not black.
I thought it was poly.
It's the stuff you made. It's
the
stuff.
It's the stuff I made the bread proofing
bowl. The bread bowl has been out of the same thing.
We need some nylon cord for that. We need to replace
it. And that will
it.
Work too, but I do know this. It's easy to restring.
That's right. You can restring.
Right.
Did you tight lace the chair? That's what it's called when they make their
I did tight lace that chair. And I would say that the foot of it was the most difficult thing because I had to figure out how to make that taut. You know, I wanted this drum tight.
Yes.
Because people are sitting on this,
mm-hmm.
you know, and big people, like adult people.
Yeah,
like people that weigh something.
Person. Yeah.
So, you know, I wanted it to hold 200 pounds or whatever. And then sometimes there's a person with a kid on it on top of them or whatever. So basically that's how I did it. So the bottom actually, so the body of the chair is one piece and the back of the chair is another piece.
So you made two corsets.
I did make two corsets. So if you turned it over, you would see that there's two sets of laces.
Uh-huh.
I stole the shape from the shape that was on it.
Right.
Like I said, so there's nothing on the corners.
Mm-hmm.
The corners are sort of cut out.
Right.
Which makes sense. But then I still had to figure out, and I don't remember exactly how, we'll have to take a picture of it or something, you know, to make that taut at the bottom.
Yes, I understand. So it would be easy if you think about what this person posted, I think maybe an animal or some rips or just a person sitting on it. This was kind of a chair that was made out of some metal.
It was what I would have called almost like a director's chair.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was very straight.
So it had that frame, and the fabric just went from side to side.
Right.
I don't think it came over the front.
No, it didn't, which is very easy to cover. So you make something, you make a however wide you need that seat base to be or that back to be, and then you decide how you're going to lace it. Now, I used grommets.
Okay.
Okay. Didn't I?
I don't know.
I think I use grommets. But you could also, here's the deal. You can't just sew a channel.
Right.
You would have to sew like a channel with a hole because you do have to lace it back and back, forth and back and forth.
Yes, yes.
You have to have that support there of those crisscrosses.
Or if you did do
No, I think I did grommets.
Okay.
Okay.
I think you could do something.
It's been a whole like year and a half. I don't know how I did it.
Where you did do some webbing underneath that like fastened somehow with like a clip. I don't know. I'm thinking about something.
This has to be really strong.
You're saying you have to draw attention on it from all points. So
right.
That it doesn't,
and here's the deal. You know how those lawn chairs wear out and get saggy?
Yeah.
You can correct the tension on this if you use this. So, And I've even seen ours is a little bit like...
It needs to be relaced.
Well,
tightened.
I just think tightened, not totally relaced.
No, I mean,
it's probably that just the lacing is stretched out. You know, it has been out in the wet and then been sat on and things like that. So, but it has worked perfectly.
Yeah.
It has been, I mean... I just think it's funny that my husband said, you really did fix that.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, you really did fix it. It's like better than it was.
Now, if you wanted to like hand sew,
I'm telling you, I don't think you could hand sew
it. Okay, I wouldn't do it on that big, huge, long chair. But if it was just the seat of like one of those director's chairs.
Yeah.
Maybe. And I maybe would use
I don't
that
know how
thread.
You could get it taut enough while you're hand sewing
it. Oh.
I just think you're much better off with the drawing.
So you think the issue
so
there
So what
would
I'm
be
saying
more
is, one, you can get it sewn really nicely, but to actually sew that, I don't know how you would keep that so taut around that to do that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm sure
you'd almost have to have a laced system to get it that taut to sew it.
Oh, that's a good point. That's something I hadn't really thought of. Is that
I had to think of all this stuff.
There's like a little bit of negative ease almost. You're like kind of stretching that.
Yes, it is a stretchy.
Even though it's not a super stretchy fabric. Right. I cannot figure out what pet screen's made of.
No, I had to make it taut. And I am telling you what I would call drum tight.
Drum tight.
Right?
Yeah.
Drum tight.
No, that's a good point, is I was like, well, you could if you really
And,
wanted
you know, to. It was funny because, of course, the pet screen that we had on hand was black.
Uh-huh.
And this happened to be a gray chair.
Right.
So it looks nice on there. And then when I went to buy cushions, I was like, oh, do I want stripes or do I want flowers? Do I want stripes? And then I found...
What'd you find?
Cushions on sale. Yay. I didn't have to make them.
Yeah.
In fact, even if I would have had to cover these, it would have been cheaper to buy the cushions instead of buying the foam.
Yeah,
so you got to think about that,
too. Okay, tell your story, and then we'll close up with that.
Right.
Yeah.
So I found black stripe cushions with, like, green foliage print on them.
Okay,
so it's perfect.
That combination of stripes and flowers, I feel like, is kind of big right now, or has been the past couple years.
Has it?
Yes.
So those were cushions, and I did buy them sort of end of mid-season here. So we have seasonal things here. You know,
right.
Your lawn cushions might not go on sale.
Right. If you live in Florida all year
I
long.
I think I paid $15 for each of them. The foam would have cost me $40 a piece, probably.
Or more. Okay. Right. Yeah, let's talk about foam, okay? Mm-hmm. This is where you got to figure out, how custom do you want to get? Because foam for furniture is so expensive to buy it on its own. I'm having to replace a couch cushion. I know, you know, longtime listeners of the Sewing Out Loud podcast will know that my couch is super duper messed up. Well, it just got more messed up because one dog puked on it and then the other dog ate it. And I don't mean the puke. I mean the cushion. Okay. So we...
Because it smelled like puke.
I'm trying so hard to like get my house together and stuff. But, you know, it doesn't matter if you got a couch that's supposed to have three cushions and only has two on it. It takes away from the room.
Yeah, it does.
Okay? So that this couch is just so nice that we don't think that we can get a new couch of that quality within our budget right now. So I'm going to buy a new
couch.
It's
also a certain size. It's not a very big couch.
It's like a really good size. We've said this before.
Right.
Okay, this replacement cushion is going to be like $75.
Ooh, you might not have looked in the right place. I think I could have got it for $45.
Well, okay.
But
this nice foam.
Right.
And
Well, foam is very expensive.
It's batting wrapped, so it's supposed to be for couch cushions.
So it's going
to
be ready.
Yes, it's nice.
That's pretty good.
And I can get it cut to size.
Right.
If
that's custom, that's not expensive.
It's like custom foam. Right. It's $75. However, I know I'm going to get this and be like, oh, now I want two more cushions that are just as nice.
Then you'll know where to get them.
Maybe I will be spending $225 on replacement cushions. So foam is expensive. So if you are wanting to have custom outdoor furniture, you might want to look into just going and buying the cushion like
and
you
that,
did.
And that's actually what the other furniture that we have out there is.
It's
It was like a denim ticking looking furniture, which I did not feel was my style.
Uh-huh.
It was actually quite nice. And I went and bought Zumbarella fabric that was in turquoise and
It's a green and a white and a turquoise,
And it's a
Chevron,
you know. And I just recovered them.
Didn't you only recover the front, too, or something?
No, on the cushions that are on the love seat, I only recovered the top. The bottom, if you look, is just blue.
It's just the blue,
right.
So you may, when you start to think about, I'm going to make custom outdoor furniture or whatever, you may want to actually start buying something that is completely new.
Yeah, and I will say, every year I have seen those, I have seen cushions go down to almost nothing.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, there's a $30, $40 cushion for $10, $15.
Yeah, that's what you
want to
do. You want to buy those things on sale. You want to recover them. Same thing for in your house. Buy the ugly throw pillow that's on sale and recover
it. We do that a lot.
Yeah, we do. Oh, yeah.
You can also buy a bed pillow and make it a throw pillow.
Sure. Right. Yeah. So buying that stuff on sale kind of instead of going for the raw materials is actually a better idea. But I'm in the couch. In Couchland over here, this is where I think I will be buying the foam because I need to, replace the specific size, couch cushion, you know. Okay. So, Zigzag Live on the corset chair, I think, is in order.
Corset chair.
Corset lawn chair. The corset chaise lounge. Chaise longue. Okay. ZD, anything else to add about outdoor furniture?
Well, you know, I'll probably think of it.
I guess.
After.
Okay.
Well, I think, after you put that work into it, take care of it.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I store mine in my basement, and I throw an old sheet over it so it doesn't get dusty or anything.
Yeah.
Because dust is not just dust; it's dust mites, right? And dust mites eat things.
Yum, 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 yum.
So whatever, you know. And so it's been nice. This is, I think, its third or fourth year, and it's, you know,
okay. Thought
very
of
nice.
One more thing.
Okay.
They sell sprays.
Yes.
Where you could make a canvas into more of an outdoor canvas, or you can renew the coating on your furniture.
There's also companies, okay, they won't be lawn chair fabric companies. They will be like boat fabric companies or marine fabrics, okay, or something like that. And they will have different grades and different qualities, and it will usually explain it to you. The one I can think of right now, I believe, is Sailrite, SAILRITE.com, I think, or something close to that. And they actually even show you how to sew it sometimes.
Oh, really?
Or they'll have a project and
say, maybe I need to just buy outdoor fabric to refinish my couch.
That might be a good idea. Yeah. There's several kinds. They will tell you, Zumbarella is usually top of the line. And then there's one, below it that's called, shark skin. And,
right.
You know, they'll say, these are the qualities of the fabrics. And they're not any more expensive.
Right.
Than good fabrics you find in, your general fabric store.
You are going to be paying, these will be fabrics that are over $15 a yard.
Right. In fact, that might be your base, about $10 or $15 for the least expensive on sale or whatever. And they'll go up easily to $40, $50 a yard sometimes.
You can spend a lot there.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody. Well, thank you so much for listening. We hope that you're having some fun outside. We are doing that right now. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.